Why don't we pray? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have inspired your words to be spoken through the prophets by your Spirit, through the last day in the Son, and now today you speak again in your word. Help us as we consider it that we might have our vision lifted and so worship you and glorify you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We've come to our final on the last week of our Purposeful Rest series, and this week we're looking at the biggest picture possible of what rest might be. I wonder how you imagine what takes place at the end of time. When God wraps up all of history, what is your vision of what takes place then? In your mind's eye, how do you perceive it to be? Sometimes we see it presented in ads, and we'll see one in a moment, see what it looks like, at least for George Clooney, and what that perspective might look like. So it should pop up now. It's a longish ad, but bear with it.
Hello, George.
Where am I?
Make an educated guess. Oh, it must be a mistake. We don't make mistakes. Ever.
No. See, it's not my time.
Maybe we could make an arrangement. Not a chance, pal. So you always wear white?
Always.
You too.
You too?
Me too.
Yeah. Do you eat here?
No.
You don't eat?
We don't eat it.
Are there more like you here?
Millions.
Billions?
Billions?
Yeah.
Coffee's good.
It is good.
We'll be quite buzzed soon.
We will.
Do you sleep?
Never.
No, that's why you keep drinking the coffee. Yeah, that's right. Basic questions. Is there a bathroom here?
We have lovely bathrooms.
You do? Good. All right. That's important.
But you don't need to.
But you don't need to go?
Not so much.
You just have them here? Mm-hmm. For visitors? I like this place a lot. I'm going to miss shooting movies. Do they do films up here?
No. There are no producers here.
Oh. It's heaven.
Seven.
Yeah.
No studios.
No agents.
No agents.
No money.
No managers.
No managers. No. This is heaven. Coffee, beautiful angels, and just you and me.
That's right.
I like it. An espresso. What else?
Was that your picture of heaven? Is that what it is? People dressed in white? Pearly gates? Well, not so pearly there. At least you couldn't tell them. Sometimes people with harps. Sometimes with angel wings. And at least in this ad, drinking coffee. And with a coffee machine that pollutes the atmosphere with their little pods that are made, especially for our convenience. You see, we seem to have anchored in our imagination this kind of advertiser's view of heaven, of eternity. And somehow, most people end up there. And especially good-looking people, like George Clooney. They end up there simply for being good-looking, it seems. And it's a rather uninspiring vision of eternity, isn't it? All that effort on God's part in creating this universe, all that effort on God's part in redeeming humanity from their sin, just so that they can wear white, float on clouds, so they could play harps, perhaps have wings, and so they can drink dodgy coffee. Sounds tedious, honestly. And thankfully it's also unbiblical, because if that was the vision, then there's not much to look forward to. The reality the Bible presents is so much more vivid, so much more substance to it, and much more in line with God's original intention for creation. And so just like God wove purposeful rest into the fabric of creation that seventh day, right there at the beginning of creation, so as he sums up all of reality, all of creation, in his end time judgment, for those who have trusted Christ, they would enter into an eternal rest with their Creator and Redeemer, and it would have this continuity with what God had created originally. Over the last 2 weeks, as we've come towards the end of our series, we've seen that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one that offers true rest. He's the only way to true rest. In his death and resurrection to life, Jesus provides that solution to sin that so disrupts our relationship with God, that disrupts that purposeful rest for which God created us. And so his death and resurrection reconciles us to God and to each other and provides a way to that eternal rest. And so as we saw last week from the writer to the Hebrews, as he reflects on that eternal rest, he urges his readers to enter into it, to do everything to enter into it. And what they must do is trust. Unlike Israel in the desert, who did not trust God, they must trust in order to enter that purposeful rest. And they must trust Christ and the salvation God offers in him, because when he was tempted and when he suffered, he remained without sin. And so he is the true sacrifice for sin for us, the only sacrifice that does away with sin and provides eternal reconciliation with God. He is our only hope for the future. He knows what it's like to be us. And he sits at God's right hand in perfect harmony with the Father, interceding for us on our behalf, all because of what he has done in his death and resurrection. And so he offers for us that purposeful rest, and we must trust, the writer to the Hebrews says. But you see, out of that trust comes an obedience to God that casts off sin, the sin that the writer of the Hebrews says hardens our hearts if we let it continue in our lives. And so casting off the sin that so easily entangles, we enter that eternal rest with God by faith in Christ. And in the response of obedience is the only way to respond appropriately. And so today we come to Revelation. And I want us to have a look at two chapters, not one. Margaret read the Revelation 22. We've gone, I don't know if you realise this, from the start of the Bible, from the very first chapter of Genesis right to the end, to Revelation 22, as we've thought about this idea of purposeful rest. And we have these words in the chapter before the one Margaret read, chapter 21, verse 1, that shows this big picture perspective. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. You see, it's not a ghostly existence in eternity. There's no playing, well, that traditional image of playing harps. There may be playing harps, but there's no kind of idea of that fluffy cloud, wispy kind of heaven thing. Sitting there with John Malkovich, flanked by two pretty women, kind of late 20s, early 30s. It's a sexist picture, isn't it, really? Instead, it's a new heavens, a new earth, consistent with this heaven and this earth, but so much better, a perfection of all that God intended, and so much more. There's a vividness to it, as I said. Will we drive cars there? I don't know. Perfect cars that never break down, perhaps. No poisonous gases emitted. No greenhouse gas to cause global warming. No insurance needed. Maybe that's the case. I suspect it won't be. I don't think we'll have any need for cars. Will there be planes? I don't know. I don't think we'll need those either. You see, as God paints a picture of eternity for John, the Apostle John, what he painted on is based on things that John understands for his time, but they point to a very true reality for us of God's purposeful rest. There is harmony with God through Christ. There is harmony with each other through Christ. We inhabit a new heaven and a new earth. And it has all the vividness, all the colour, all the striking richness that is better than the best we see here and now. In Revelation 21 and 22, it's a holy city come down from God to inhabit the earth, a new Jerusalem, a beautiful city, God's city, his kingdom, the land of his people, with his people gathered round his throne. And God's city shines with the glory of God, and John tries to capture it with the images that he has in his mind, and he uses it, jewels and jasper and crystal and pure gold and sapphire and emerald and pearls, to try and get this vividness of this image of what God will do in his purposeful eternal rest for us. This new creation. And picking up on some Old Testament imagery, there's water, abundant water, water we don't have to pay for. The thirsty will drink without cost. And again, picking up on Old Testament imagery, the seventh day of creation, where there was no sunset on that day, no evening and no morning, so there will be an eternal day in God's new creation. There'll be no need for sun and moon, because God will be its light. The Lamb of God, meaning God's sacrificial Lamb, Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world, the glorified, the resurrected Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God, will be the light of that city, the light of life, as John says in his gospel. And so there's no need for sun or moon to exist. We don't know if they will. It's just that there's no need for them. This eternal day of purposeful rest won't need sun to designate days and months and moon to designate the same. There will be a lack of night. Now, why is that important? Well, what John is getting at here, as he sees this vision of eternity with God, is night representing evil, representing darkness, is done away with forever. There will be no night because there will be no evil in this new creation of God. This city will be open forever. It will be productive forever. The river flowing down the middle of the city waters the land, it waters the tree of life, the crops and fruit of the tree will be for the healing of the nations. It's this picture of the Garden of Eden, but so much more prosperous, so much more joyous under God. And perhaps in some of the most striking, what I regard as some of the sweetest words of consolation of all Scripture, words that provoke a longing and aching in the heart for this eternal purposeful rest of God, we see in this eternal future these things. Revelation 21 verses 3 to 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and he will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Now we could just sit with those few verses there for the rest of today and just ponder what that means. They're so profound, they're so rich in what they have to offer us. But I just want to pick a couple of points. Harmony with God will never again be interrupted by sin, never again interrupted by evil. For those who turn to Christ and for those who wash their robes in the blood of Christ, cleansed of their sin, there will be no more evil it will be shut out for eternity. Now there's a warning there, isn't there? For those who consistently and persistently, who repeatedly refuse to come to Christ, to turn from their sin, to seek forgiveness in Him, seek the power to change, they will be shut out. But in that warning, there is also hope. They will be shut out because this will be a perfected creation. There's no place for sin anymore. And don't we glory and praise God for that? We will be people transformed, renewed, restored in Christ. Because the resurrection life of Jesus, the first fruits of this new order, will do away with sin and death forever. Death will be no more, curse will be no more, only blessing and life. There's no more sadness, there's no more pain, there's no more trouble that belongs to our current existence. You see, death is swallowed up in resurrection life, or as the Apostle Paul puts it, death is swallowed up in victory. The resurrection life of eternal purposeful rest will also mean that we have real, perfected bodies, just like Jesus' real, resurrected, glorified body. So balding men, there is hope. It's much better than that, isn't it? But this amazing eternal purpose will rest in harmony with God, with a new creation, with ourselves having been perfected and resurrected bodies. It only takes place, as I've said, for those who wash their robes, for those who have been cleansed of their sin through the death of Christ, for His blood shed on the cross. Trusting Christ is the only way to take hold of those robes. And so a few quick points as I finish off. Have you taken hold of Christ? If you haven't, then today is the day to do that. There's a glorious eternity awaiting you, with resurrected, perfected bodies, in a place without sin, in a place without evil. Take hold of Christ. Have your robes washed in His death and resurrection. Now, if you have taken hold of Christ, and perhaps you've done that many years ago, perhaps you've washed your robes in Him as you've trusted Him many, many years ago, keep trusting Him that He will get you there. In grief and in difficulty, in times of stress, in times of pain and hardship, and we all go through those, know that there will be a time when He will wipe every tear from your eyes. Now, of course, that's not going to get rid of the suffering and its effects in the here and now. It's not going to provide all the answers to your questions in the here and now. But my prayer is for you that this vision of eternity will so shape your life from this point forward that it will be deeply consoling for you, whatever you're going through. And ultimately, you'll be able to see the joy of God's eternal rest, His purposeful rest in His kingdom. Now, you might be enjoying life now, and that's fantastic too. If you are enjoying life, don't become complacent and think that heaven is here and now in the things that you do enjoy. Let those things, as good as they are, spur you on, push you beyond what you see, knowing that they are a pale reflection of what God has in store in His new creation, in His purposeful rest. Well, even though the old heaven and earth will pass away and be replaced by a new heaven and new earth, for us it's never an excuse as Christians to deliberately pollute, to rubbish, to destroy and to degrade God's creation, because this is His creation. We don't know how long He will need it for the glory of Christ in this age, so that people might come to know Him and so wash their robes and so take their part in God's eternity. So our responsibility is to look after creation in harmony with its Creator and its Redeemer, and to urge others to look after it as well, but always knowing that this creation is something that will be replaced. And so we look beyond it. We look above it to something that is so vivid in all its colours, in all its richness, to a beautiful world that will be eclipsed in God's eternal, purposeful rest. And how I pray that as we trust Christ, we will be there on that day. Amen.